We're on Yud Zayin Amud Bet. Let's at least try to finish the parak and I'll see if I can last that long. Yud Zayin Amud Bet, it is between the level, after the level Amud Bet, but it says, Ve'in ro'in oto arom ve'lo kishemistaper ve'lo bebet ha'merbat. Yud Zayin Amud Bet is not there. Don't tell me what to do. Okay. Skip that page.
So we have it there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's there. No, you have the third page.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. You got the third page? Yeah. Thank you, both. Okay. Thank you. Does everybody have one?
No. I don't have one.
Huh. Look about, I'd say about 60% of the way down.
So what's the beginning?
It says, Ein ro'in oto arum.
So, a little past the above Rabbi Chanina.
It's just two lines above Rabbi Chanina.
Oh, Melech Yisrael and Rafin al Kusum.
Okay.
There's a gimel to begin on the line, right?
The
Enro Rosso,
Enro Rosso.
Okay. Yeah, okay, that's it. Let's go. I'm gone. Now, just to remind you that there's a parak in Tehillim called Lamnatzeach al Hashminis. Ever hear the Medrash on that? Lamnatzeach al Hashminis. That David HaMelech always wanted to be reminded of a mitzvah, but when he was unclothed in the bathhouse, he had no mitzvahs to remind himself until he looked at the Mila and he said, "Ach, Lamnatzeach al Hashminis." Have you heard this? It's a Gemara Masechta Shabbos, and it's found in Medrash Tehillim. So, okay, but that the king should be by himself. But is it conceivable that the king goes anywhere like that by himself? Right? The king doesn't go there. He has to have an attendant. Okay, the attendant is on the side, he's turned around, doesn't look, but he's there just in case Chas v'Shalom the king falls in the bath. He has to have someone with him. The king never goes in anywhere alone like that, right? Okay, then Rishon just explained it that way. That even when David was saying Lamatzeach al Hashminis, there was someone there with him, but he was like the way he's supposed to show proper respect. The king can't be seen without any clothes on, right? Okay. All right. So, let's see. Al Shem, remember with me? But look, and he shouldn't be seen when he's taking a haircut or a shave. But lo bebeis hamerchat. So it, obviously, someone is shaving him. He's not shaving himself. He's not cutting his own hair, right? And also not at all in the beis hamerchat. So, Al Shem Melech Biyufyo Techezeno Einecha. We had this pasuk already. This was the pasuk that taught us that the king has to get a haircut every day. The Kohen Gadol once a week. So no one, he always looks the same. But the king every day has to be so groomed because of this pasuk that says that the king Melech Biyufyo Techezeno Einecha. This is a pasuk in Tehillim. This is the pasuk that talks about Vas Melech Kol Kfu De Pnima. That certain heirs have to be maintained, and that's one of them with the king, that he has to be groomed in a way. But here the pasuk is teaching me something quite different. Here the pasuk is just saying that if someone sees the king with his without his trappings, his yafut may not be there. Right? Okay, no one should see the king uncovered, because that would be a breach of this pasuk also.
Rabbi?
Yes, sir.
How should I put it? Well, the king shouldn't be seen in such situations, as opposed to how everyone may or may not be seen in those situations. Presumably, modesty is a universal concept.
Yeah, but the Gemara does say that many men together are going to the mikveh. You know, it's not.
But the king must go to the mikveh alone.
With his attendant looking aside.
So it's not their modesty. Yeah. It's an honor issue for the king.
I think so. Okay. Okay, so let's see a conversation here about giving kavod. Okay. Between these personalities here, right? Rabbi Chanina Solak Gabi Rabbi Yudin Nesia. This Rabbi Yudin Nesia is Rebbe's descendant, called in the Bavli Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. Right? This is Rabbi Gamliel's son, and he was you see, in the Talmud Bavli, he had some harsh words with certain Amoraim. He's not Amora, right? But he still had the Sanhedrin, and a descendant of Hillel, and dating back to King David the Melech. Right, so Nafak Lagabe Lavush Usnesei.
So this is not Rabbi Yehuda Nesia?
No, his grandson.
Okay.
This is regarding giving kavod between Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, right? And what they would in conversation, they noticed that the Nasi was not dressed according to the conventions of how they should be dressed, right? So this, you know, there's a story in the Tanakh that resembles what we're about to, at least is instructive, is where the Aron was being brought back in Shmuel Bet Perek Vav, who's been brought back to Yerushalayim after the Plishtim had taken in Shmuel Aleph, and they were celebrating Slavtorah Parshat Shmini. And Michal saw the way that David was dancing, and she thought it was untoward. She says, my father knew how a king should behave. She didn't say that, but from David's response, it would appear that that's what she mentioned. So this is not the way for a king to behave. And the Rambam actually cites this conversation. Where could this show up? The Rambam cites this conversation at the end of Hilchos Lulav, where he talks about Simchat Beit HaShoeva, and how the rabbis should dance with full gusto and get out there. And when you're at a chasana, don't be afraid to put on, you know, a mask or a, you know, and you say, well, it's not called Bekovedik for a rabbi like me. Is there anyone more Bekovedik than David Melech Yisrael, where he told Michal, Bisichakti lifnei Hashem, I was just dancing. Now, the Tanakh describes what he was doing as Mechar Ker, Bechol Oz. Mecharker, you know, double lush of kavresh. Kavresh means like, you know, over and over again, like galgal, mefaz fez, right, mefaz bez. So what's interesting is that's what it says in the narrative. But dinei David mecharker becholos. When it says Michal nishkefa ba'avachalon, she's looking out the window at David. There it says v'hinei hamelech mefazez u'mecharker. Now, it may mean that by that time, David was getting so much into it that he was breakdancing. He was getting crazy. He was dancing on his head. Right? Or what it may mean is that what is objectively mecharker to Michal looking out the window, right? And I'm saying, if they say, you know, the queen waves like this. One time she saw Diana doing this, and she went crazy, went nuts. And the Princess of England does not do that. Right, to her, it was like she was jumping up and down and waving, you know. Right, it's a question of what, you know, expectation and convention. Right, so when David was mecharker, so for her, we're looking out the window, was mefazez mecharker. All right, so there are other lots of other gemaras. I think kiddushin is a gemara where Rabbi Gamliel is serving people at the table, and they say this is untoward. We shouldn't be accepting service from the nasi. You know. Right, but here it's a little different. The Gemara in Shabbos says if a Talmud Chacham walks out with patches on his clothing, it's a Chilul Hashem. You have to maintain the Yafut of the Melech. There's also in certain other areas. It's not even your kavod That's not your cover to be mocher. Right? Okay. Now this humility is one thing, but don't dress in a way that draws attention to to chesronos. Right? So amale chazor ulavush legin didoch mishumelch biyafyot techazeno inecha. Just go back home and put on clothes that's more becoming of your station. You're the nasi. How do you dress like this? Right? So, we already had in this perek, remember about 5-6 weeks ago, remember Reish Lakish had told him of some kind of medrash that he didn't like, and this same Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya went after him and tried to get remember? Okay, some weeks ago. We were here at the time, yeah. Okay, so now let's see how he takes this rebuke about how he was dressed. Right? Rabbi Yochanan Solak Gabe Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Nafak Lagabe Bechaluka Dekitna. Right? He just felt that he was not spoken to properly in this realm, and Rav Yochanan saw, right, said, and he brought him out a shirt that was more proper for his station, right, and he also told him Amalei Chazor Ulevush Chalukha De Amra. Same story. This word Amra here, you see the word Amra means a wool garment. Right? This is the Korban Aida, just to
point out.
Versus Chamra. Remember the Korban Aida in the Seches Psachim, in Yerushalmi and Psachim, says that the whole mistaken minhag came about the 9 days of Tisha B'Av is because it says, Hani Nashi Delo Naginan Delo Mishte Chamra. Min alil da'av min haga. The women who have the minhag of not to mishte chamra, which means to drink wine. But the Kabbalah says no, it's the mishte amra, which means to weave wool. Mishte means to weave, shesi. So, because in the Talmud Bavli, it says you can drink wine right up to the Suda of Sekis, not even Shavu Shechova. Erev Tisha B'Av to drink wine and eat meat, just not the, until the Shavu Shechova, the Sudam of Segas. So in the Talmud Yerushalmi, it's for no wine from the 9 days. And it's limited to women. Only women, it says. Because women are weaving. There's never a minute. So the also points out that, what some of the other alternate minhagim might be of why we avoid wine and meat earlier. But in Nag Hammadi, he says that it's Amra with an ayin. Remember, some of you show me in Eretz Yisrael, they pronounced ayin like ayin. Amra could be mistaken for Hamra. Right? So Amra here is a he brought him out a garment that's worthy of his station. Okay, minofak amale aisi atama. So this is all a reminder of dressing the part, but the rebuke came on the rebukers. Is the way they spoke to him. The ta'am of your expression was not bakavadik. Amalei shlach v'aisila menachem talma d'chsiv v'soras chesed al shona. When you talk to the nasi and you tell him what he's doing wrong, be very careful, because this Gemara is skipping over some political issues that we know from other Yerushalmis were big deals. Reish Lakish had it out for the Beit Nasiya at this time. I should say the opposite. The Beit Nasiya had it out for Reish Lakish, and Rav Yochanan was his brother-in-law, who often had to step in and calm things over. Reish Lakish was very brusque. Remember the Gemara Bava Metzia? He wanted to go back to being a criminal because he was insulted by Rav Yochanan. Right? He started off as a criminal. He was a gladiator, some scholars say. Remember the Gemara in Gittin? He fights, so he He fights off the cannibals. Remember the cannibals, the guys at Lud, the Ludka. Remember, they were about to eat him, and they said, "When we give someone to eat, we give them one last wish, so that they when you get something you like, your meat tastes, your flesh tastes better." So he asked for one thing while they weren't looking. He broke his ropes and he's able to escape. But he was a brigand, you know. He was a mighty one too. We meet him the first time jumping over the Yarding to rob people on the other side. Anyway, so he often got into trouble with the Beit Nesia. Our Gemara just says that when the first guy rebuked them about not dressing properly, Rabbi Yochanan calmed him over. Rabbi Yochanan often stepped in for his wayward brother-in-law to get him out of trouble. Okay, these ideas don't come across so much in the Bavli, but they're here in the Yerushalmi. Bavli doesn't bother telling us stories of Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish with the Beit Nesia. It's more of Yerushalmi in it. All right. Bavli,
you didn't have much time.
Actually, this Shabbos in my shir in the Seches Pesachim is an amazing story about how Hillel advanced to the top. He took over the Nesiut because he answered the Shaila about Korban Pesach on Shabbos, if it's Doche Shabbos or not. And the Yerushalmi and the Bavli's version of the story are so profoundly different. They're just like almost two different stories. That it's sometimes the two Talmuds tell things from different perspectives and concentrate on different aspects. And they could both be true, right? Hillel HaBavli gets an easier way of it in the Talmud Bavli than in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says he had to go through so many more hurdles before taking over the Sanhedrin than the Talmud Bavli says. Right. Okay, that's okay. Minafak Chama Rav Chanina Bar Sisi Mitzak Kisim. Right. So Rav Yochanan saw this Samora, he was chopping wood. Okay. This Yerushalmi is brought down as a huge, huge part of a machlokis at the time of the Rishonim. Over rabbinic payments, whether rabbis should be paid or not, how they should be paid, and whether or not the rabbis of the Talmud made their living teaching and learning and the like, because you know in the Gaonic period the kollel system was gaining a lot of strength, and there was one very very considerable rishon who thought that it was wrong. That it's a chil Hashem, that it leads to listus, it leads to stealing. Gemara in the Sechas Kiddushin says that if you don't teach your child to trade, you're teaching him to steal, right?
The Rambam has a big thing on it.
Of course, I'm talking about the Rambam. Mm-hmm. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah that it's a chil Hashem. The rabbis weren't paid; they made their living separately.
A lot of rabbis.
Right. Rabbi Yochanan Hasandlar, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Hillel was a water carrier. So the Gaonim said, no, that's what they did before they became famous. Right? They had jobs, and when they graduated, they finished graduate school, then they got the smicha, then they were paid for that job. Okay. Alright, so I will tell you, though, that there is one place in the Rambam's Mishneh Torah where he does allow the kollel system, and he has to, because it's a Gemara in Bava Basra and Dav Ches. The Gemara says that if someone dedicates him and the Rambam's Lashon is, or herself, fully to spiritual pursuits, they're only involved in such spiritual pursuits as the Rambam calls him to be a Kodesh Kadoshim, to be so holy that he just eats pasta, melech, tocha, mayim, misur, tishta, and he applies every mission in Pirkei Avos, right? Then that person should not serve in the army, should not pay taxes, should not have to, should divert water to his property without any trouble. He should not have to serve the shmirah of the town. This person should be totally free to pursue the Kodesh Kodashim like Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar getting one. Question is,
but he said,
how many people does the Rambam feel that applies to?
Yeah, because he said you can't.
Everybody?
It, right?
Maybe the Grah. I'll tell you this. In the article that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein wrote about 30, 35 years ago, he said, I know, I'm not this person.
Wow.
I'm certainly not this person. He did his miluim until his 50s, 60s. I'm not this person. What?
Who's
the Rav?
The
Rav. I know, it doesn't matter, but they're just saying that he wrote a piece on this about Hezder, the Hezder Yeshiva, I'm not that person. I have to defend us. He says, how many people are like that? Okay, the Vilna Gaon, certainly. But to say that everybody in the whole town gets to sit, it's just unsustainable. Anyway, I will say though that when our Gemara talks about, I know,
but he's a storekeeper, right?
Yeah, Simon. Okay, our Gemara talks about this rabbi who's chopping wood, and someone tells him, "Your position makes it untoward for you to be chopping wood." No, it doesn't say he was like missing slichas because he was chopping wood for an old lady and all those nice stories, right? Those Yiddish stories. All right, so he says, Amalei Rebbe, Leisu Kavodcha. This is not according to your kavod. This is a Gemara in Eilu Metzius over whether a zokein, the Einu Lefi Kvodo, was allowed to do the mitzvah. Right? Remember, Vissalamta? Don't see the Aveda Vissalamta. Very unusual way for the Torah to say it. It should say, don't see, if you see an aveda, don't walk by. Instead, it says if you see an aveda and you are isalamto, and it tells you what to do. So the words of Gemara and Bava Metzia learn from this: pamim shatam isalim. Sometimes does it mean you have to? Of course, in some of these instances, it can't mean you have to. In some cases, you don't have to pick it up and return it to its lost its owner. One, if you're a Kohen and it's in the basic pharos, that you're not allowed to. Two, if you by getting his lost article, you will lose more money. Now, you can mevazveis if you want. Okay, I'll forego mine for him. You can do that, and you can't go into the basic pharos. That you can't, certainly can't. You can't say mitzvah saseh of Hashem v'savedes dochem ilo saseh of tumah. But the third one, I don't know, which one is it like? The third one is zokin v'eino lefi kvodo. Right? A great rav with a long beard is walking in the streets alone, and he sees a hockey stick with the name Moshe Weinberger on it, and should he pick it up and walk three, four blocks holding a hockey stick till he gets home? So it's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rosh, whether he's allowed to be mochel on such kavod, because the other two, one you're allowed to do it, one you're not. So which one is this? So he says, "Ein lefi kvodcha." This is not your kavod. I'm sorry, it's not your. He says, "Nekvodcha." It's not your kavod that you're mochel on. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod, the kavod that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you as a representative of Torah. You can't be mochel on it. Amalei uman navid. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be cold tonight? I have no one to do this for me. Right? And I can't afford to buy it myself. Okay? Look at the answer he gives him. Amalei, in lo havi lach man de misham sheikh, lo makabla lach mitmania. If you have no one to serve you, you shouldn't have taken this position in the first place. You accepted, yeah. This is Rav Yochanan talking. Rav Yochanan is the Stam, is it author of this Yusham. He said, if you don't have someone to help you, then you shouldn't have accepted it. He didn't want to take. I want to tell you this Yusham we're learning now is used by proponents on both sides, more for the Kolel side, but still it's used on both sides about whether or not everybody deserves to be. To be learning and paid for it. Okay. Tirgem Yosim Ma'oni B'Knishta B'Tiberia. You want to have it? Shimuzos HaKohanim Lama Leis Asun La'ein Ba'Raisa Lo Yavis L'Chon Chof Dalad Matanta. You see where this is going? It says that he was translating some prophecies in Tanakh, Pasuk in Hosea, where Hosea is a prophet who speaks to the leaders and the heads and the rich people. And the Kohanim were, I actually spoke about this past Friday night, that the Torah refers to the work of the Kohanim as Avodat Matana. So the different interpretation of matanot, because what they do is matanot dala mizbeach, dala chain arba matanot, right? But they do more than just that. They do a lot of things. But what it is that you, for your avoda, avodat matana, it's avoda that gets you gifts, and you have to see it as a gift. Although the non kohanim are obligated to give it, no particular kohen has dibs on any of it. No kohen has dibs on pidyon haben. It's a tovas hanah of the father to find a kohen, to choose a kohen. But there's no single kohen who has any claim to that money, right? So the answer is that the kohen has to see it as avodat matana, that what he's getting is a matana. But when the Hoshea complains about the kohanim, and that's what happened in Beit Sheni even more, is that the kohanim were considering their gifts to be like, it's coming to me, this is mine. You get it? Remember the Talmud Bavli, a guy from Israel went to Bavel and he saw how cheap the figs were. And he says, figs are so cheap here in Bavel and they're not learning full time? You get what he's trying to say. You don't have parnasa concerns, constraints like we have. And you guys are busy doing what? Make the money you need, pay for your kids, your education, whatever else you need. And you should be spending the rest of the time learning. And since since by the price of figs, maybe you saw there's a benchmark for other prices, it seems that you have less burdens with parnasa, so you should have more time to learn. All right, so he's saying that why aren't the kohanim toiling in Torah like they should be, considering all these gifts that they're getting? Now, at the time this person said this, kohanim was certainly not getting 24 gifts. Right? How many of those 24 gifts are they getting at this time? I have to tell you, the vast majority not. It's a bit of machlokus and all the way up to the achronim over some of these gifts. The Mishnah Brewer even mentions that in Europe, kohanim would go to the mikvah on Friday and eat challah. I'm talking the challah that you pull off when you bake bread. Now we put it in a little aluminum foil, burn the daylight out of it, and then we throw it out because it doesn't have a name of food. Otherwise, you can't waste kachin. But in Europe, they would actually pull off the challah and give it as dough to a kohen, and he would make bread out of it. He would eat it in a state of kedusha, or let's say at least going to the mikvah.
So what changed?
So I think that maybe, I mean, these were kohanim who were very very sure of their lineage. Now we only have kahuna chazaka, right? But I say I know Moshe is a kohen because I know his father was a kohen, right, Moshe?
That's how the story goes.
That's how they say it. His father told him, that's all. We have a chazaka. Not gonna question, right? But because it's such a weak chazaka, the only thing we do to the kohanim is you throw him a couple of bones, give him a first aliyah, and make a bench, and we give them the restrictions. But we don't give them so many of the gifts anymore. But at the time of them on Tanoim, they were still giving tithes, not only in Israel but in Syria, in Lebanon, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt, five places. So there were some gifts. Pidyon haben, of course, we still give Pidyon haben. That's a nice little perk. Most you usually keep the coins when you get them. Have you done it?
The one time. Was here.
Yeah.
And
you gave it back. Yeah, and then I needed it for the next guy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on. Let's finish the prayer, please. Alright, so he was complaining that the Kohanim have all this gedula and all these gifts, certainly not 24 at that time though, and they're not studying Torah. You ever heard of Medrash Lo Nitna Torah Ela Laochlei Mon? Lo Nitna Torah Ela Laochlei Truma. In other words, we're giving you the Truma so that you can excel in leading the people. Amrlei lo yavinin laklum. They don't give me anything. Bnei Yisrael are not giving us anything. They're not. There was a complaint of. This is all a conversation that's going on based on this nevuah of Hoshea. So let's turn it to Hoshea's time, where these 24 gifts were given. This is the time of Tanakh, right? So the Kohanim was saying, I'll tell you what, we can't learn. We can't be more spiritual. They're not giving us the gifts. So it's a catch-22, or it's a vicious cycle. The The people are saying the Kohanim aren't good teachers, so why should we give our gifts? It says, remember at the end of Sanhedrin, it says, in the Bavli, it says, Nasatim is Trumas Hashem Elokechem La'aron HaKohen. Wait a second, Truma is only given in Israel. Aaron never made it to Israel. Mikan, the Tirzah, made him in the Torah. But then the Gemara says, no, you have a different drasha. When you give Truma, make sure the person eating it is like Aaron. Just as Aaron wouldn't eat Truma when he's not in the state of ritual purity, so only give Truma to someone who you think is going to be in the state of ritual purity. These Kohanim are all shlobs. So I don't want to give them Truma and then they're going to be eating Tevel and making it tummy. So it's a catch-22. The Kohanim say we can't learn because we don't get our gifts. They say we're not giving our gifts to such miserable Kohanim. And he said, listen, O Israel, why aren't you giving these 24 gifts to the people like I told you? Right? I told you it's Yamarlay, Malka Nasiv Kula. The king takes it all. That's the Derech, I told you before, the Derech of Hoshea. He always complains about the kings. Right? Beis HaMelech Hazinu Ki Lachem HaMishpat Lachem HaMarti V'zeh Mishpat HaKohanim Asir Ani Leishevi Mahen B'din L'Paskon U'L'Abda Min HaOlam. Therefore my complaint is with the Malchus, that they make the situation so that this vicious cycle has come to exist. Shomer of Yudin Nasi of Akos. See what all this is? Remember I went back to Hoshea before and talked about the 24. The king, the Nasir, Yudon Nasi's grandson, sees this whole discussion as a veiled reference to what's going on now. That he is not presiding over a nation where Kohanim are behaving properly, where the non-Kohanim are behaving properly, and he sees this as an indictment of his leadership. And he gets angry. Dachal v'arak. So Rish Lakish had to escape. And then this is now Rav Yossi, I'm sorry. It's not Rav Yossi. Right? This is Rav Yossi. Rish Lakish is now on the side of trying to appease him. All these drushes about that Rav Yudan the Sia interpreted these drushes here about the failed leadership that they're so well off, but they're not being spiritual. And then they say, no, we're not so well off because they're not giving us gifts. So that's why we're not studying Torah. And it's a vicious cycle where everyone's blaming each other for the sorry religious state in Israel, right?
How much does the Nasi have at this time? But it's under the Romans are ruling.
And the Hanami, but at different times. This is about the year 260.
And there's some level of autonomy.
It's a lot better than it was under Hadrian, and the Hadrianic persecutions are already 120, 130 years ago. Remember, Rebbe had an excellent relationship with Marcus Aurelius. That's, you know, he's also goes down in Roman records as being very favorable to the Jews. It was very tenuous, back and forth, even with the same Caesar. Everything was really not just Ve'yakam Melech Chadash, Ve'yakam Mood Chadash. You know, so, but be it as it may, here is where the Sultan Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish Lefayes Lay. So this time Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish, imagine that Rish Lakish is trying to appease him. Amale, Rabbi Gavra Rabahu, please, Nasiya, Rav Yosef is a good guy. Amale, Ifshar Koman, Dina Shoil Lay, Hu Magivli, Amale in. So the Nasi's reaction was, if he can answer any kasha that I have, right, then I'll consider forgiving him. Interesting direction, right? Amalei in, yeah, let's go ahead. Amalei mahu din dichsev ki zonsa imam, right? There's a pasuk in Hoshea, the same prophet that caused us our problems, right? Remember, Hoshea is told to marry a harlot, Torah's Bamidbar. Okay. So he quotes him a pasuk in Mishlei. It says, your mother committed znus. V'chisari menu zona isa? That's not what Hoshea is talking about, but he's taking the metaphor to refer to our mother. Sarah, our mother, was committed znus? Chas v'shalom. Amalei kibas kein ima. Where does that come from? Kibas kein ima. You ever hear that? I mean, it's used midrashically to describe Dina and Leah. Vateitze Leah, vateitze Dina. But both of them. Kibas kein ima. But that's not what he's talking about here. Kibas kein ima is a pasuk in Yecheskel. In fact, it's no big secret here. There's a little note there. Tess? Gracious Rab. Anyway, Kibas Kein Ima is Ki'ima Bita. The pasuk in Yechezkel, describing the northern tribes. The northern tribes is like the mother, the southern tribes is like the daughter. Right? And the daughter behaved like the, you know, that she sinned, the Yehuda sinned just like the northern tribes after the northern tribes were destroyed. Right? Kidor kein hanosi. Kenosi kein hador. Can you guess what kind of answer is he giving here? A door is like its nasi, and the nasi is like its door. In other words, they're...
It's your fault.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying, basically.
It's sort of like why the Kohen Gadol, Kohen Gadol's mother, it says in the Gemara in Makos, Kohen Gadol's mother used to make garments for anyone who had to go to the Ir Miklot. Why? Why is she befriending these people who are going to Ir Miklot, to City of Refuge? Because what are people who live in the City of Refuge praying for? For them to die, because that's what gets them to go free. But isn't that a strange setup? The Torah sets up a situation where people are praying for the religious spiritual leader to die. Yeah, because you should have prayed better that these the kind of things don't happen. If it happens, it's your burden. By Egla Rufa, right? If someone dies, it's the leaders of the towns nearby that are responsible for this, right? So Kimizbeach Kohanov, it's all the same. So this is going to get him angrier, no? Right? The influence of a nafsi, right, is like the influence of a mother to the daughter. Right? Kana Markein. The way of the gardener is the way of the garden. Would anyone think any different? Right? This is your garden. If this is what's going on, you can't just complain that the people just aren't doing right. Right? You have to set up a system whereby they learn properly so that they'll want to do these mitzvahs. Amalei lo tav de kalili de lo ba'apoi chadzman ela ba'apit lasa zimnin. I told you he's not going to get kindly with this. He says, you curse me this way, you mevaze me now a third time. Right? Rav Yochanan told me to give you a chance, right? Amalei mahu din dechsiv. Hine kol ha-moshel alecha yimshol lemor ki ima bita. Right? You see, I've told you Yecheskel, right? See the olive? They make this proverb, and they say a mother, a daughter is like the mother. Right? V'chi imenu leya zona ha-isa d'chsiv ha-teitzei dina. I just told you this. Was leya our mother a zona? It says she went out. Amalei lepum dechsiva teitzei leah likraso. Right, pashtin yitzia meets mi yitzia. Pashtin means it's spread out from her yitzia to her daughter's yitzia. Because right before when Dina was violated, it says vateitzei Dina they wrote there's no taretz. Right. So there Rashi finds fault with Yaakov for that. Because remember it says that he showed off his family to Esav, and it says he showed off his wives and his 11 sons. Bedina, Bedina, Echa, Esav. She was in the box. What? He thought maybe Esav will put his eyes on her. And Yaakov, Chayecha. If Esav had married your daughter, maybe she would have turned him to in a good direction. Right? Esav was the brother of a patriarch, the son of a patriarch, the son of a matriarch. None of that made him good, but a good wife might have. Right? So Yaakov, you kept your daughter from someone who was at least gemalt.
But he eventually married
Chayecha.
But Esav eventually did marry from to please his father.
Yeah, from Ishmael.
And it still didn't work out.
That wasn't like this. This was, yeah. Chayecha, you didn't want to give your daughter over to someone who was circumcised. She'll be taken by someone who's not circumcised. Hamor ben Shechem. So that's the and he keeps telling him this. This is getting crazy. Let's see how this ends. Rechizki haben mahalach beorz beorcha paga beichad kuti amale rebi atu rabhon dihudai amale dihudai amale in. Alright, so I'm sorry, I skipped one line. It said vateitze dina. Amale pum dichsi vateitze leah likoto pashkin yitzia mitzia. Because it says vateitze leah, that's why it says vateitze dina. You try to keep Dina in a box for her whole life. The first day she goes out, it's a little curiosity. Especially if she says, it's not fair, Daddy. But Mommy, it says, Vateitze Dina, why are you keeping me in a box? Vateitze Leah, why are you keeping me in a box?
It says, Vateitze Leah,
but
the whole
Dibahim's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's like, I mean, that, and it's good, and
it's well. Well. Yeah, you should get Tisohar. But it's still also a Yitzia for, it's a little, I don't know, it's a little unchaste there. I'll stick with you tonight. Okay. Let it talk. Okay, so here's what it is. Rav Chizkia was asked, are you the rabbi around here? Amalei chami maksiv som tosim alach hamelach osim inksiv elatosim da'ad shavi alach. Interesting, because Rashi says something else in the Bavli. It says that you have to be a guardian over yourself. Everybody has to be melech over his own urges. That melech is called inhibitions. Your Yetzer HaTov is your melech. That's where to end this parak. Because when you give in, you're not a melech anymore. Remember Drash that you're supposed to put your mind as moach, your heart is lev. You put your mind before your lev, you're a melech. You put your lev before your mind, you're a lemech. Okay, so that's Som Tosim Alecha Melech is a nice way to finish this parak about Malchus. In the Bavli, Rashi says Som Tosim Alecha. Just coincidentally, it's what we taught yesterday at the Shem Shmir. You see, Atosimah, we were talking about why Shmuel was angry when they asked for a king. It says Kliyakar number 5 says, because it says Sima Lanu. They should have said Sima Aleinu. Right? Som Tosim Alecha Shetehei Maso Alecha. Alecha means the king is on you. He's sitting on you. Not Som Tosim Lecha Melech, like Lech Lecha Shlach Lecha. Som Tosim Alecha Melech. He's on you. He's sitting on you. You get it? He's a burden. Because he's going to keep you from doing Averos. Okay. Hadron Alech Kohen Gadol. Hadron Alech Kohen Gadol. Hadron Alech Kohen Gadol. Mr. Hashem, next week we will continue with Zeborer and we'll